Welcome back to A Slut's Guide to Happiness, where your body is perfectly imperfect, and it is safe to be as sexual, kinky, queer, or slutty as you want. Today I will be talking with a dear friend, a kinky pansexual person, an endless creative well of silly and perverted ideas, and the chief video officer of Cliff Media, Orion Pax.
Hello.
We'll be discussing the experience of feeling and unlearning shame about masturbating. I'm sure that's something you've never done before, right? Just kidding. There are actually 78% of adults who jack off or rub it out. In other words, 4 out of 5 people are spending time touching themselves for personal pleasure. So why the fuck are we so scared of talking about this? We know that masturbation doesn't have any negative physiological side effects. It doesn't cause vision loss or hairy hands, and it won't make your dick fall off or dry up your pussy. In fact, masturbation can be really physically beneficial. It increases dopamine and oxytocin, those feel-good hormones, and it reduces cortisol, the stress hormone. It also improves sleep, boosts your mood, relieves pain. I know when I have a headache, my go-to is to touch myself. And on an emotional level, it can be a great way to explore sexual desire, learn about your body, and enhance your sex life. But this universal human desire and this healing activity is somehow a social taboo to discuss in this culture. And we create these internalize these shaming narratives about it. So Orion is going to share some really beautiful stories. I'm really grateful for his willingness to be vulnerable about his complex journey and relationship with masturbation. And I think it's really important because there are a lot of people who experience this. Because when we talk about watching porn, it's not a conversation that's encouraged in normal company. That's not a thing that you're supposed to say, that you're at home touching yourself. I'm going to go home and relax and read a book is an okay thing to say. I'm going to go home and relax and jack off is not, but it's also a beautiful thing to do. And so these are some of the things that we're going to dive into. What does that look like? How does that impact your life? Why do people masturbate? All different kinds of reasons. And why do people have these stories? And what do we do with that? What do we do with that feeling? And what could be on the other side of that? So thank you for sharing your bravery here.
You're welcome.
No pressure, right?
No pressure.
Sometimes I find that it's easier to just fuck or masturbate than it is to talk about the details of it. So anyway, thank you for being willing to share about this subject. And I know that sometimes talking about it is the healing and the bravery. I want to start with an experience you shared with me about a few years ago, right? You were in a relationship. And for a bunch of different reasons, you were spending a lot of time masturbating and a lot of time having some big feelings about it, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
So what was going on?
I was in a relationship for with an ex-partner for a couple of years, and then it starts to kind of fade out and we become less sexually active, which I'm a very, like, I feel like I connect very I connect with people sexually more than I do non-sexually. That's just how I connect
with
people.
I'm kind of familiar with that experience. Yeah.
So I'm in this relationship and we're not being sexually active. Mm-hmm. And I start to masturbate more. Mm-hmm. And it starts to lead to me feeling a little bit of shame about it because I'm masturbating. I get off work. I would go home and I'd masturbate until she got home. Mm-hmm. I would sometimes on my lunch, I would come home and masturbate and then go to work.
That's a commitment.
It is. Because I'm timing that shit right. But so it became like I would wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'd masturbate in the shower. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go to work. Come home from work. Jack off. Mm-hmm. Go back to work. And then get off work, jack off. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing it like 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not connecting with her sexually. And we drift apart. Mm-hmm. And it makes me start to feel bad about myself. Like, why doesn't she want to have sex with me? Like, is there something wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it kind of started to make me feel worse and worse and worse about myself. And I didn't feel comfortable talking to her about it because I felt like I didn't feel.
Was masturbating all the time a thing that you wanted to hide from her that you felt ashamed talking to her about?
No, I don't think, yes and no. I don't think I wasn't open about how much I was masturbating, but I would hide it to the point where, like, you know, we were in a relationship and so we had each other's location. So I knew where she was at. And so I would be like, oh, I could masturbate. And then I would masturbate and then I would look at the location. I got 10 more minutes. I'd see when she got freeway. I gotta time it just right. And then I'm coming, I wash my hands. Myself away. Yeah, and it felt like, you know, like I'm
hiding that part of yourself.
Yeah. Oh, hey, what's up, babe?
Had she ever said things about you masturbating a lot that got in your brain?
I don't think she did. No, not at all. But I think in my past I have had relationships where, like, my second baby's mama used to not like that I masturbated, and that relationship didn't last very long. But I remember one time being in the shower, and she, like, opens it up real quick. Are you masturbating? I'm a girl.
Like, she's gonna catch you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did it mean for her, do you think?
Well, I think in that case with her, it was her feeling like I had a problem with sexual addiction. Mm-hmm. And so...
It's an interesting phrase.
Yeah. So, you know, like, she was somehow like my master, like, you can't masturbate, and
You know, when I, so there was a period of time, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, but there was a period of time when I was not connected to Springer community or sex positive community or sex clubs or whatever, and I was having 5 different guys a week come over to my place. Now I'm looking at that. I'm like, 5 different guys a night is like more common. But at the time, I didn't know anyone who did anything like that. I knew, like, people who were in monogamous relationships for years at a time. And that was what you were supposed to do. And I was doing this thing over here that was, like, I definitely pathologized that in my brain. And I was sure that it was because I had a mental illness or I was just, like, gone. Like, there was something wrong with me. Addiction, maybe, was a word that I thought. And then I had to find, like, oh, actually, there are lots of people who are like this, right? And exactly so it's interesting that you're experiencing that somebody was labeling your relationship to yourself, which is even a step beyond going out and fucking a bunch of people, but you and yourself were having a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And that got attached to someone else being like, what are you doing in the bathroom?
Right.
You're addicted, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely, it there was a lot of that shame with it, with her, with her, because I was unfaithful to her with my first baby mama, and that caused a whole bunch of problems with having a child with this one and having a child with that one, and then being unfaithful to this one with this one, that, you know, labeling it that I have sexual addiction, labeling it that, you know, there's something wrong with me.
Right. So there's, like, you've described cheating that is maybe related to difficulty with being honest in a relationship.
Yes, definitely.
And part of the challenge that I'm seeing is that judgments around masturbation then get tied up in fears related to insecurity in the relationship and the monogamy or the agreements that you have around cheating.
Yeah. And I was, in that particular case, I was trying to make it work for a child, because I had been unfaithful, and I was like, that's the old me. This is, you know, and I'd always been slutty. I always have been slutty. And so, you know, thinking that was something wrong with me because I'm slutty.
Yeah.
Like,
and over time you've gotten to a place where you're more in relationships where people are like, oh yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And now you can go out and be slutty and be honest about it, right? Like, it's a different part of your life now.
Like you were saying, like, I had been a slut, but I had been a secret slut, right? So there's where some of that, like, oh, these are my secrets. I can't tell anybody this. That's where, and then that feels very shameful, right? And then when I got into the swinger community, I was like, the fuck? There's a whole club of sluts? Like, why didn't anybody fucking tell me this right? shit? I'm doing this shit by myself. I'm, like, hating who I am. Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, you do that too? Yeah. And you love yourself anyway?
And you guys are married and you do it? You know, like,
and you tell each other about kids? It and you're fine? Yes, yeah. Yes.
It was like a whole where the fuck has this been my whole life?
Yep. And I think the thing that's amazing is, like, that is a step removed, right? Like, the agreement that, okay, you're going to go out and fuck people. But even just your relationship with yourself, it feels like in some ways should be a smaller topic or an easier thing for people even who are within the monogamous norm to experience. But I do think that that's common. I've heard that from other couples that, like, that relationship with yourself is seen as somehow either cheating or breaking the agreements of the relationship, or more like you're not getting satisfied by your partner, so you're having to do something separate on your own, as opposed to kind of seeing it as a way to connect with yourself, with other sexual desires, you know, build yourself up, that potentially it could make your sex with your partner stronger. Have you ever experienced either sides of that?
Yeah, I have definitely experienced both sides of that. Yeah. I think feeling that the opposite of that, where I'm with my partner who likes that about me, and that's a good feeling when your partner doesn't care if you masturbate or is turned on by you masturbating. Uh-huh. Wants you to send them videos when you do masturbate. I have a current partner that loves that.
Uh-huh.
And every time I'm like, I gotta film this. Uh-huh. Like, you know, like, I think about, like, because she's gonna like it. And, like, that aspect turns me on. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I haven't had many partners that like that. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I think every guy probably has, like, 4 or 5 videos in his phone of him jacking off. Or even more.
I have videos in my phone of me masturbating, but usually it's because I want to share with someone else, because it is not as easy to demonstrate how you're masturbating when you have pussy.
Yeah.
Your dick sticks up, and that is a good thing. That is like a photogenic opportunity right there. Take advantage. So you, one of the things that you're describing, you're finding joy from the experience of having someone affirm your time with yourself.
Yeah.
And
very much
it becomes then a source of connection, as opposed to, like, something breaking down the relationship because you're, like, not spending that sexual energy on that person. It's rather than imagining that there's one well of sexual energy, or that, like, sexual energy is a cookie and you can break off pieces of it, and once you take away pieces, it's gone, that cookie's gone. Instead, it's like you're pouring in energy into a well, and by masturbating and imagining these things, you're building up your sexual tension that then you have more to give. Your cup is fuller to give to your partner or partners.
Partners, yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. I think what I've also noticed is that that's where a lot of my, you know, when I have that me time,
mm-hmm.
that's where a lot of my, like, fantasies will start to form.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'll start, you know, like, I'm at the phase now in my life where, like, I mean, there's no such thing as a fantasy. Mm-hmm. I can make this shit a reality.
It's true. It starts as a fantasy. And I think this is it doesn't matter if you're talking about sexuality or people that you're going to meet or things that you're going to build or write or explore or create, like, whatever you're doing in the world, it starts first as a dream, an imagination, and then you put it out into the world. But you have to have creative capacity first.
Absolutely, yeah.
You get inspired by something.
Yep.
So can you give us an example? What are some things that you have masturbated to, you're like, oh, I wish I could do this, yes. And then you're like, actually, I could just do this, and you fucking do it. So tell us about that. Like, what does that process look like? It is an example.
Okay, so I'll tell you this story. So this is a pretty recent story. So I've recently come out of, like, a depressive state for the last, I don't know, couple of years, I feel like, just because of a relationship breakup and dealing my own baggage, all my shit. And so I was masturbating a lot, and I was getting bored with it, just very bored with it. Like, and it became to feel like it was a fucking chore.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, I need to do this to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm in this depressive state where I don't want to meet anybody else. I'm feeling bad about my self-image. I'm feeling nobody's going to want to fuck me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the junk narratives we tell yourself.
Yeah, the junk narrative that's in here that's not true.
Right, because it's not that you need to change your body to be sexy. It's like getting that energy ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I bought, I went on Amazon and I bought a sex doll, mm-hmm. like a torso.
That's a pretty small torso. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, it was one of those things where I saw in the picture, I was like, yeah, okay. I think it was $79. And then when you get it, uh-huh. it's like,
yeah.
It's very small. Mm-hmm. And so I used it for the first time and I thought mm-hmm. that was hot. And then one time while I'm masturbating, I thought about, wouldn't it be hot? Because I like to share my partners. I think that's, mm-hmm. I mean, I really get off on that. Like mm-hmm. having, so I thought to myself, what if I was to share this toy with mm-hmm. somebody? Mm-hmm. Is that a thing? Did I just make something up? Like, you know, like I've never seen that ad in a Craigslist thing or a Doublelist or, So that happens while I'm masturbating. And I think uh-huh. to myself, it's actually kind of a hot idea. It's like, I don't have a partner right now but I have this toy I could do this uh-huh. with. So I decided to take a couple pictures of the toy and I think, I'm gonna fucking do this. I'm gonna try this. Cause I'm feeling a little. This is what happened. Is like I felt like I was going down in this, and then I had this rush of sexual, like, I'm hungry. Yeah. I want something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I took photos of it. I created an ad one day, mm-hmm. and it led to like 5 guys coming over. And that's awesome. Yeah.
Because it inspired other people. It's the energy that they're drawn to.
Well, I was so surprised at how many people wanted to fuck the doll.
Yes.
I could have probably had double that, but it was like, I guess nobody. So yeah, I was getting very turned on by doing this deed because mm-hmm. I would have some guy come over and this is the best part is like, I had gotten to the point where I had so much sexual energy released that I didn't give a fuck who came over. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where before, you know, you're always gatekeeping, like, oh, what's this guy look mm-hmm, like? Oh, mm-hmm. I'm not attracted to him. I didn't give a fuck. I was letting anybody come over.
Yes, so, yes.
You've been there. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, first guy comes in. Yeah. Hey, uh-huh. how's it going?
And it's the adventure. You're like, yeah, who's this going to be? I don't know. Like, let's figure each other out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, he's into the toy. Yeah. I suck him to get him hard. He uh-huh. sucks me a little bit, and then he starts fucking the doll. Uh-huh. And while he's stroking me, and uh-huh. Uh-huh. he comes in the doll.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he came pretty fast. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Uh-huh. I don't care. And then I start fucking a little bit right after him. You know, I don't mm-hmm. come now because I'm mm-hmm. I have a busy night ahead of me. He doesn't know that. So all right. See you later.
And so it's this transition from you were experiencing just depression, you were feeling stuck, you were feeling bored, and then you had this idea, that an idea that came to you while you were living inside the horny energy of masturbating, and then you were able to act it out, and even though it is outside normative society, like, you can't go to work and be like, listen to this creative, positive experience that I had connecting with 5 other people this weekend, like... If we step outside of that judgment, actually, you had connections with 5 different people around this creative new experience that you had. Yep. And I think about one of the things, like, you talk about the yoni, right? Like, that is this like energy that's right here at the base of you. That is your sexual, spiritual energy, right? And like, as you're masturbating, you're connecting to that. And that isn't just about fucking. That's like, that energy is life force, right? And that allowed you to step for a moment outside of your depression and access creativity and connection and adventure and like seizing the moment of joy that can be expressed in anything, right? And that energy can transfer over into other aspects of your life. Like, when you have that confidence or creativity, you can bring that to other things. Thanks for sharing that, gay sex world, anonymous Doublelist life. I think we'll talk about that in the next episode. Some more of that. So I want to ask you, have you found, like, you've mentioned that masturbation has been a way for you to, explore these fantasies. You mentioned that it's something that you use for sleep. Going back to that experience that you had in your relationship, what are some of the reasons that you were masturbating a lot then? What else do you think masturbation gives to you physically, emotionally, spiritually, or in some ways are there times when it is a maladaptive coping mechanism? Like, what's going on for you in those different moments?
Yeah, I think in the case with the ex-partner is my sexual needs weren't being met, mm-hmm. and they were being ignored. Mm-hmm. And instead of communicating mm-hmm. my needs, I sacrificed my needs for the relationship. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, okay, you don't have sex. Okay, well, mm-hmm. I still love you, la, la, la. Mm-hmm. And I think now about masturbation where, like, I feel a lot better about it. Like, mm-hmm. One thing I like about masturbation now is that it is a great way to formulate my pervy ideas in my head. And mm-hmm. one of my partners says, I love your darkness. Mm-hmm. And I love when she says that because I feel seen, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel mm-hmm. like finally somebody sees this part of me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just because I'm more honest and open now with my mm-hmm. with everything versus yeah. before in the past I would have not shared those mm-hmm. those things with my partner just because I wasn't comfortable with it on my own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting that you're describing that in that relationship you were not feeling safe or not wanting to express
yes.
that your sexual needs were not getting met. Yeah. But you wanted to be with this person. And I think that's so common. Like,
yeah.
how many people in relationships, because of the kid, or because, like,
yeah.
they work together while cohabitating, or there are good things about them, but, like, their sexual compatibility just isn't there. And so, to me, I see that, and I think that I wish that there were a possibility for honesty. Like, maybe it would be better if they explored, like, sexual adventure together, or they explored polyamory, something else. But at least if they're not doing that, like, masturbation is a coping mechanism for the meantime.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you had been masturbating, like you're frustrated that you're not getting your sexual needs met, so this is a second best. But in addition, you're attaching to that masturbation that junk that you heard from the past partner who was like, hello in the shower, are you masturbating? Are you addicted in there?
Yeah.
Right? Like that is all part wrapped up in there. So it becomes a different story then,
it does,
right?
Yeah. And I also think about like, you know, porn in general, where like I remember as a teenager getting busted for having porn magazines
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and getting in pretty big trouble because, you know, we were stealing from them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was always like this shameful thing mm-hmm. that, you know, like,
what are you doing looking at naked bodies?
Yeah. What are you doing reading the stories? And, you know, like
uh-huh,
I would
uh-huh.
go over the whole thing, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of that junk that happens then and
yeah.
then that junk and then this junk and the
right.
relate, you know, and get into a certain depressive mindset, you start to listen to that
mm-hmm.
that junk voice
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
when you're not listening to your light voice, you know.
Mm.
It's like I think that's the difference for me at least.
Mm-hmm. Those shame narratives kind of taking over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
when you're in that state, when you're in a kind of a depressive state,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to see, it's hard to listen to this light voice
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
this is just, you can't see the top of the water. You're just
you're
suffocating yourself. So.
Yeah. Especially when you're isolating yourself
isolating,
and you're feeling like
and
the
exactly
things that you're doing are secrets.
So
you can't
yeah,
talk about
I
with
can't
anyone.
Do my secrets.
Yeah.
So then that leads to not being able to connect with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
hiding these things about myself and,
yeah.
that leads to shame.
Mm-hmm.
Then that leads to me feeling like something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like I'm not normal.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I like this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really painful because we are wired for connection. Like as humans, we are. Right? Like
oh, yeah.
even the people who are most introverted need other people. And to have to keep secrets then becomes corrosive
yeah.
to the spirit. Like it becomes a source of fear of disconnection and a difficulty like so to be able to share your truth allows for opportunities like you're describing with your partner sharing your masturbation videos and
yeah.
you're describing in this experience where you were like, I bought a sex doll, hey boys, you want to
yeah.
come fucking with me?
Like a good idea to me.
Yeah. So what has changed for you? Like you are describing a huge transition, right?
Right.
Like you
yeah.
went from watching on the phone to see when your partner's going to come home so that you can hurry up, come and wash your hands before she gets there, to now like telling people about your masturbation all over the internet with your partners and so on, right? Yeah. So like, that's a transition. How did you get there? What has changed in your mind and your spirit for that?
I believe that it's just loving myself more and accepting, radical self-acceptance. Like, you know, it's like you're saying in your intro here, like, everybody masturbates, right? Mm-hmm. The people who don't masturbate, we don't fucking believe them. When they go, we don't masturbate. We don't fucking believe those people.
That's right. The statistic is self-reported. So it's about asking people. 78% of people in the world admit to masturbating. Yeah.
So we all do it.
Yeah.
Having a supportive partner, you know, kind of helps a lot, because it just made me feel like, okay, she likes this, and this is normal, you know, and I'm sharing this with her. I feel safe with her. I feel vulnerable. I think it's feeling vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know, and being okay with feeling vulnerable.
Yeah. Vulnerability is so scary, but it's also the root of connection.
That's exactly it.
When vulnerability is received in a way that's respectful and safe, yeah. And yeah.
Well, vulnerability mm-hmm. is sexy too.
That's true. Yeah, like, it's a source of sexual energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know,
I think I hear him saying is that if you want to have hot sex with your partner tonight, I dare you to be vulnerable enough to talk about whatever secret that you have been hiding with them and see how it goes.
Yeah.
What have you masturbated to that you haven't told your partner about yet? Because I bet that on the other side of fear is something really hot.
That's exactly it. Like,
yeah.
Don't be afraid of that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we all have those secrets in our heads about what we like. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are afraid to tell our partners this, especially mm-hmm. in monogamous relationships, where, you know, it might be something that you are uncomfortable with, you don't know how they're going to react, so you just bottle it up, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. it becomes something that slowly sometimes can eat at you.
Yeah.
When you think about, I like that, gosh, I wish I could tell my partner this. And then you go down some porn rabbit hole, and that's all you're starting to watch, because you find that you like this, but your partner has zero clue that you like this.
Yeah.
You know? So.
You know, one time I ended up in a porn rabbit hole, and this is not something I ever thought about before, but I was masturbating to the idea of someone coming in my food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck am I? But then I shared it, and then my partner came in my food. It was fucking great. I was like, oh, actually, I just played with this. Also, yeah. This is like on a much bigger scale. I used to really masturbate to porn that was gangbang porn, or porn that was like intense kink impact play porn. But it was before a time when I knew the words like impact play, and I knew that there was like a world of BDSM. It was just like people getting fucked up. And I was like, why would I want assaults and being fucked up, and like, and didn't have the concept of separating those things out. And now I film gangbang porn, and I know a lot of like really smart, really empowered, like successful, beautiful, self-loving women and trans people and queer people and even dudes who are gangbang sluts, and they're like, I just want to be fucked up. And then afterwards, I want to hug and have a beautiful, like, loving session where we all, it's like that it actually can be like that.
It can be.
But we get stuck in these narratives of like, I definitely can't share that. Yeah. That is a fantasy that's like some like fucked up, nasty shit in my brain. But maybe it isn't. Like, maybe it can be a source of connection.
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of the things that we're fantasizing about. Because they are a response to the human experience. Like, there is a reason why that's in you. That is part of being human.
Yeah, I agree. And all my sexual, I wouldn't even say fantasies anymore. All my sexual plans that I plan with my partner all originate from masturbation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the well that I go to. Because, you know, I really like to push her boundaries, and like, and she's very open to that, and she, you know, she's accepted of my ideas, and she thinks they're hot, and it's always, but it's all sometimes a collaborative effort. So sometimes I'll have this idea with her and I'll explain it, and she's like, ooh, I love that, but what if we did this? And then it's like, that's even hotter.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's like this collaborative, like,
and something that you bring to Cliff Media. So in other words, please keep masturbating so please we can continue having a lot of creative scenes.
Yeah. Do you have a place on your website where you can submit ideas?
I mean, that's a fantastic idea. I haven't thought of that yet, but that totally, I mean, because one of the things that we are doing is figuring out what are the boundaries of kink, of sexuality, that collectively we have fantasized about, but like, how can we bring that together in a way that's joyful and say, oh yeah, that too. Yeah, that too. Yep. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, so, open for ideas.
So if there are people out there who are rubbing it out, jacking it off, and really struggling with it, being like, fuck, why am I lying in bed for 2 hours every day? Why did I just spend half of my Saturday like with my coconut oil and my phone, right? Like, what am I doing with my life? Who am I? What's wrong with me? Like, there's a bunch there, and maybe some of it is like transitioning out of that energy, putting that back into the world, knowing that those fantasies can be used productively. And then there's some of it's like, well, actually, maybe there's something valuable in that Saturday spent that time. So how do you, what recommendations would you give to people who are dealing with that shame right now?
You know, I think I came to the conclusion that you know, we feel like it's not normal, but it's normal. It's completely normal. Masturbation is sex with yourself. You're spending time with yourself.
Mm.
You're enjoying yourself. So any gunk you feel after that is not a true reflection of the actual act. Like, that's the shame that comes in after that. We all have that shame that sometimes comes after masturbation, you know. But it's normal.
I love that idea. It is spending time with yourself, and it's like there's a lot of discouragement of being selfish, but actually by pouring into yourself, whether that's taking care of yourself with a bath, whether that's telling yourself affirmations that you are amazing, you're doing a great job in this world, go you, right? Like, or whether that's having sex with yourself, like that actually builds your well so that you can give more to other people. You can show up more to other people. You have more energy to care for them, or more creative energy when you're fucking them.
And relieves tension. You know, and it feels good. Come on, why are you doing it? It feels good. We like the way it feels. It's like you said in the beginning, it's that dopamine hit. It's releasing that cortisol.
You don't have to get STI tests in order to do it.
Exactly. It's me time, man. We all like me time. Everybody does it. Come on. We all do it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this deep personal journey with us. I know you go masturbate later tonight, so I welcome your creative ideas tomorrow morning. And thank you all listeners for joining us. This has been another edition of A Slut's Guide to Happiness with your host, Vanessa Cliff. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify, as well as on vanessacliff.com. Please help us out, like and share this podcast, and stay tuned for more deep dives into beautiful, fun, messy waters. If you're over the age of 18, you can also check out our video content on our website, vanessacliff.com. I invite you to join us in the pleasure of being awkwardly human, naked, and without pretense. Let's get free.